Brass X, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm on the air.
You are?
How are you today?
I'm all right.
Good. I want to say something.
Mm-hmm.
What is the role of the last Democratic Labour Party that lost the government?
What's their role?
What's their role, yeah, in society?
To remain a vibrant force to recapture the government whenever election is called and they run candidates, I presume.
Okay, so right now they are not the opposition.
They are not the opposition in parliament, but they are an opposition party.
Oh, they have me mixed up.
They're just not in parliament, but they are an opposition party. They, as far as I know, one of the old parties in Barbados have been around 4 years. So I don't think they've disbanded.
No, but I mean, like, I don't hear anything about them, like, pertaining to, like, not people, like, naming people to run.
I don't think they've done that yet.
Oh, they haven't done it yet.
I haven't heard that they have. There are a couple gentlemen, there are two who've been on Brass Tax Sunday, who've indicated an interest in running in certain constituencies. I don't think they've been nominated so to do, nor have they been ratified by the party apparatus, but they have spokespersons on various sectors, and as I said, I know two of them for sure have been on a Brass Tax Sunday program, and a couple call from time to time and identify themselves as being representing the party on various issues.
Oh, okay. Well, what I want to say is that to shed some light on the two deputy commissioners, right?
Mm-hmm.
I realize that Mr. Pizzo and a few others are asking for the attorney general to be dismissed or something like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to say, everybody, you're only a human. Everybody's human. If you're acting in a position for X amount of months, and the attorney general and others see fit, and he admit that he made a mistake, and they would wait till COVID finish and rectify that problem now again. What it is that these people, including Mr. DePizzo, would ask for him to be dismissed or handed resignation. I don't think that
because, ma'am, in the opinion of the lady, the party, and several others, this whole issue of the deputy commissioner was mishandled. Let me use that term. One, it was back in 2019 that he was put in the position of acting. The post was created without the Police Act being amended to have two deputy commissioners.
Yeah.
He was confirmed in the position without the Police Act being amended. Since then, the government has gone to Parliament and made several changes, passed several bits of legislation, but that one did not come to the fore.
Okay.
When it was raised by Senator Franklin, he said he wasn't even referring to the Attorney General. That's what he said in today's paper. The Attorney General made a remark that was ill-advised and brought it to the fore, and it became a political issue. Sometimes things become an issue, as I said yesterday, not because you didn't do the right thing, but you did the right thing in the wrong way. And then you went and put your foot in it. According to Senator Franklin, he shot himself in the foot by making a statement, a flippant statement that caused people to react. Now, if you have a situation where somebody is in a position that was created, they were acting in the position, they were confirmed in the position, but the position cannot exist under the law, then one needs to correct the law. And when it is pointed out, one says, I am terribly sorry. This is an oversight. We slipped up here. We will fix this as fast as is humanly possible because it's affecting individuals. It will affect other people. And it is causing a commotion. One does not fan the flames when one is being, put under fire.
Yeah, but all I heard him said is that he wasn't going to go into an argument with nobody. I didn't hear much more. But what I'm trying to say, when the last government that are speaking out now was in power, the mistakes that were made and the running of this country for the last 5 years.
That's why they lost power.
Yes, if people had came down on everything that they did, like mismanaging the country and like down on their backs to dismiss them, all like no, it wouldn't be a case where they would have lost 30 seats. They would have been out before the 5 years. It didn't mean a case for them going at no polls and losing. So you don't have to ask everything that people do to dismiss them, to dismiss them. We are only human beings.
You see this thing, ma'am, hold on. You know, I keep trying to guide listeners and contributors to this program, and I can take the heat and the fire when I try to do it, okay?
Yes, sir.
There was a calypso by Classic that said, I think the name of the calypso is I Wasn't There or It Wasn't Me. I think it was I Wasn't There. He made a comment that those who declared their assets and then made another comment. He did not call any name. However, there were two people who declared their assets and they sued. So this thing about I ain't call no names does not hold water under certain circumstances. I sat in this chair where a ma'am, I'm about to bring you to that point. I sat in this chair and a caller made a comment about the big chief. A gentleman got five people to say that the big chief referred to him in the context in which that statement was made. He sued and he got money for it. There was a news story carried by this radio station that did not originate at this radio station, where it was said each and every member of the cabinet of Barbados did something or the other. Each and every member of the cabinet said they did not, and each and every member of the cabinet sued. So when we make statements that can be narrowed down to a group of people, we need to be very careful what we say, because that group, depending on what they say, can find themselves or put the station in trouble. And I'm trying to walk a line on that. That's why I said what I said.
I can understand you, sir, but thank what I'm trying to say, it has been proven a million times for that defeat that they got for the tour. It has been proven. They will not say anymore.
Correct. The people took action based on what they thought.
I have no more to say.
Good.
What had happened at the polls will do the rest of the talking for me. But what I'm trying to say now, in another nutshell now, why all they could do now is keep on criticize, ain't doing anything at all to help us pull ourselves out of the rut that we're in, both money-wise, the virus-wise. Nobody, I am saying, some I never heard from since this thing happened, since they lose, I never hear their voice. The odd ones would ease back in the odd time to criticize, or to pelt fire down in gasoline. So I can't understand their role in society today. You're just coming out when you want to criticize or when you want to make noise with a government that is trying the utmost best to put us back in the limelight. Come out and do something else. Come and do some donations like anybody else. You have money, you're getting pension, you're getting your gratuity, everything. Come out. I ain't seen nobody yet among those people that say we are going to give piece of salt fish or piece of rice. That's all you're doing, sitting in the back to bring down this government and to make noise. You're sitting down on not enough money that you would have had over a period of 10 years. You had it, you are still getting it. Come out and bring a team to help me out of this rut. Have a proper day.
Thank you, ma'am. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
You seem never to end work.
It's what I do for a living.
Now, I call you, but that last call has caused me to change what I call you. Well,
why?
I want to talk about the bus issue, but one must understand fully that, and as I said it earlier, politicians must understand that if they are elected to parliament based on the criticism of the former government, then they cannot come and commit the same things that they criticize the other persons of. And yes, he would have apologized, but the position is that under the system, I don't think that was a shortcut. That was doing something to appoint a person and then to go to Parliament and rectify it. And I think that it get caught in the bud. So that is not what we want as far as the government is concerned. We want to have a government. That is why the last government was criticized. That is why the last government found itself wanting.
That's why they were kicked out of office.
That's why they were kicked out of office. I don't believe that we as a government have a right now to take shortcuts, to go down the same road that we accuse them of going down the road. So I'm saying that, well, the Attorney General said exactly, and then we saw the motive, gentlemen.
Sir, that's what I'm trying to get you away from. You see, people make these comments, right? And I keep saying, ascribing motive to what people do is a dangerous practice. Now, I know people get up in Parliament and say all kinds of things and claim parliamentary privilege. I know people say things and get quoted in the newspaper, and then when it gets said on radio stations, people start writing. So to ascribe motive to people's actions is a dangerous thing. If I were to say that the reason why you come on this program every day is because you want A, B, C, or D, would you be happy with it? Would you consider it not an affront, an assault on your integrity, sir? When you're doing something that you think is for a national good and I ascribe a motive to it?
Well, you've got a point.
But thank you very much. That's all I want to have, a point. Thank you, sir.
All I was actually saying is that what I've read, so perhaps let me forget that.
Correct, which is why I was steering away from what was... I read it too, and I keep saying, why are we doing this to the gentleman?
No,
it does not make sense.
I want to close off on that. All of us supported a party with an understanding of corrections to things that was going wrong in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I do not believe that any of us should sit back and feel comfortable that things are likely or proceed in directions that they shouldn't be going. So I'm along the line that what happened should not have happened. Now, Mr. Johnson, you and I know that the Polytechnic has produced several craft artisans over the years, from electrical to engineering, all types of things. Now, when I look at this situation, years ago, buses were built in Barbados.
Yeah.
Buses were built from the point of view of the walk buses was built in Barbados. The chassis came in from overseas, and they were built in Barbados. I'm saying all of this to say that within recent times, you and I know that at Gozex, there was a place building buses, and eventually they ended up shipping buses down through the islands.
Mm-hmm.
So we had an export market as far as our building buses here is concerned.
Correct.
I do not believe that we should label this new project towards the transport board. I believe that this is an area where government should help these two young men who have been given some help by Busy Williams and try to establish what we consider to be a company that will make buses not only for Barbados or not only assigned to transport board, but it will be a company that will find employment, employ some of those youngsters from the same polyclinic. Polytechnic, who will be able to become shareholders? Polytechnic. So I am of the opinion that we have got an industry. We have got an industry that does not have to depend on the transport board. We've got an industry that we talk about entrepreneurs, we talk about people making life right for themselves. This is a golden opportunity for X amount of money to be set aside to move this industry forward. Because these buses can be made in several ways. They could be made as fun buses. It could be made as for the private service vehicle buses for people to purchase as well. And it could be a whole thing. So I don't want it to be restricted that we have to depend on the transport board.
But sir, not dependent on the transport board, sir. If the transport board is in need of buses, if they have shells that can be converted, so therefore you have in the transport board yard shells that can be used to fabricate buses, which would take some of the cost of fabricating from start. You do certain modifications to those that can be modified. You do certain changes to those that can't be modified. You use chassis where you can and other things. You have the basis of providing you have a ready market, if you want to put it that way. And then, of course, as you say, you expand to others. You take other jobs, the same things that were done at Acme, the same things that is now what SNL. So they're not doing it exclusively for the board. This was a project, and the transport board bus was done as a project. There's nothing that says it has to be only for the board.
In closing, my suggestion, which you like to make a suggestion, my suggestion is that those shelves that are within the transport board that are likely to be disposed of, that those could become an asset of an investment to this young company in terms of production. And it could be seen as government's contribution in value to this company in order to put more buses on the road and employ more people. I think that would be a good position. Government could say, well, look, the value of these buses that we've got in transport board that are likely to be thrown away or some of that, values X amount of money. Mm-hmm. We are going to contribute these to this company for the possibility of providing labor for the making of these buses and to be able to produce buses that are likely to be shipped through the islands. But I think that is an excellent idea. I understand that it was said that these buses can come over wholesale, but these electric buses are now coming over wholesale.
I don't know why people make these assumptions when they're not mechanics and they just, you know, Brazil got more higher mountains than Barbados. Horse Hill is a small hill when you look at Brazil and other places. San Francisco got hills like none. They got electric buses. We just like to find reasons why we don't want to change. But anyhow, the bus, the only thing is I don't know why they had so many cars in Bashaba on the East Coast. I thought they had Party Monarch. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello.
Hi, Dennis. Morning to you.
Morning, ma'am.
I am calling with respect to what Mr. Mohammed Nasser said, and I just want to agree with him. I'll try to condense those points. Mm-hmm. But and I'll be referring to campaign finance reform, etc., right, and bringing some comparative information. Before I do that, may I first congratulate and commend, more than congratulate, commend Dr. Maurice Waldron and the team of surgeons in his department for standing up for something that benefits the public of Barbados. I believe that we cannot look at this dedicating a theater for surgery with regards to COVID persons in a short-term sense, because we know that there is a second wave of this COVID virus going around in Europe, South Korea, Singapore, etc. So I think we have to look long-term, because we hear that the Caribbean looking at reopening their borders to travel. We see that Carnival Cruise said in August they plan to start back cruising, and the airlines, well, we don't have a definitive date on them, but they're looking at how soon they'll be able to start. So I think we need to have something there just in case we have a second wave coming. We don't know when and how this situation would end. I just also briefly want to state the lady who called, and I want to congratulate to Mark Williams, because Mark stated, and he was to me fairly objective in stating how you should look at situations like this. If something is wrong, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. The lady spoke at length about how the last government was allowed to do X, Y, and Z, and nobody congratulated them, and a lot of misinformation and error. I just want to remind her that two no-confidence motions was brought by Ms. Motley as opposition leader against Chris Sinclair. One was brought against Prime Minister Frendel Stewart. There were many walkouts. From 2008, when she was initially opposition leader, she was always in opposition mode. Didn't support anything, even up to the independence fund of $6 million for the 50th anniversary. I'm just saying that to say, politics on both sides, you can't look at it through a narrow lens. The last government had a lot of criticism. So when she's saying Ms. Brilla de Pisa shouldn't criticize, Ms. Motley had marches and walkouts and no confidence motion. So I would just leave that there. As it relates to Mr. Mohamed Nasser, sir, I agree with you in principle. On the whole question of voters, and I think this is why I use this program, I like to bring information to people. I've been saying even before the last election, voters should know the price, not the price, but the value of their vote. I'll read a quote here from former Senator Helen Drayton in Trinidad, and she said, it is a reality that when some campaign donors finance political parties, they are not simply donating, but they are investing in a future stream of revenues. And she argued that the democratic process of free and fair election comes with a price. And while the politicians see that price as millions of dollars, the real cost is citizens' confidence and trust. It is not campaign spending that reduce public trust, but the alleged sources of funds and corruption. Transparency, she argued, is the first hurdle against corruption. And, you know, that is so key. We see, you know, persons, perhaps political parties, even persons in the society, probably just see a company, a business, a person, whoever, giving a donation to a political party. But the argument she's making, and it makes sense to me, is some persons see that as an investment, access to political power. And therefore, Trinidad, the PNM government, had proposed campaign finance reform. I think they were discussing it in Parliament. And they were looking at, I think, accountability, the definition of permissible and impermissible donors. The whole question of, if you are going to donate as a company and you're a state contractor, you benefit from state contract, well, there should be something in the law that says X number of years before an election is called or X time period before an election is called, you should not be able to donate to a political party. Also, you should have a declaration of who the donors are. There should be no anonymous donors. There should be no foreign donors from overseas to be able to influence our election. The person should be able to go perhaps on a website and look at who making donations. Because I find that generally, citizens see, you know, we hear from both sides, citizens get gifts, they get hampers, they get phone, they get whatever it is, bills paid before election. And they just enjoy that moment, that one-off gift. But they don't understand that one-off gift that might be 200 or 250 will benefit somebody who contributed to a political party. Thousands of dollars they contributed, but it would benefit them in the millions. Because when they get their contract, they will be getting millions of dollars. And the little voter who didn't mind putting his ex that just get a cell phone or bills paid.
Or a flat screen TV. No, ma'am, listen. The reason why I'm sitting here with a big grin on my face, and I'll tell you okay. why, right? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you why. You discovered this last week or last night? Or this was something that's been going on for a long while?
No, I spoke on this before.
Okay, good.
So, I raised it because of Mohamed Nasser.
Right, and this is why I responded to Brother Nasser in the way I did. Mm-hmm. Because here is what I was trying to get across to Brother Nasser, and I'm going to try to get across to you too, and I hope it reaches. And it's this. The minute anybody, be it small contractor, big contractor, independent voter, or group of voters, believe that by putting an X next to somebody's name and electing them to office, they should get something in return. They, and I'm using the they on purpose. Mm-hmm. That is what corrupts the system. Mm-hmm. Right? So if I put an X next to the name of representative in my constituency, because I believe that by putting my ex next to that person's name, I will be able to get a job in government, I will get a pick at CBC, I will get appointed to a board, my child will get a pick at the BIDC, my other child will get a scholarship to go wherever, or my wife will get sent to, you know, someplace as the ambassador. I am just as selfish as corporation X or Y that says, I'm going to give you $500,000, but, you know, when you get in there, I need a road contract or I need to build 10 houses. It's the same principle.
Yes,
so the point I am making is that our political system has become And until we get away from that, you know, I don't know when it's going to be. I'm going to be dead and gone. I don't think we're getting away from it. I heard Helen Drayton. I have heard and seen the attempts to try to legislate. You can't legislate morality. You can't. And you can't stop somebody from, quote unquote, you could, but you can't stop people from, and I use this word in inverted commas, you can't stop people from being kind. The late Warwick Franklin once pulled me up for saying that politicians and parliamentarian salaries should be reduced. And he said to me, "Dennis, by the time I get home to my family, I sometimes have no salary. Because I got to give somebody for the uniform, somebody for the funeral, somebody for the..." I said, "But that's your fault. You caused that. You encourage that. You tell me, but that's the price of politics. People come and call you what you're supposed to do."
They do.
And that's my point.
So, Dennis, there's this dependency syndrome.
Correct.
That, this quid pro quo.
Correct.
I can give you 5 votes in this house.
Yeah.
But we want X, Y, and Z.
Correct.
And I'm saying to you,
I could deliver the whole gap.
Yes. You have to wean, or a drug lord might come and say, "I got these, my boys on the block, so and so." You have to wean people off from that. It will take some time. But equally and more, to me, more dangerous is the whole question of large amounts of government's revenue being dedicated to small persons, a small number of persons. And I'm saying, what Mohammed Nasser seemed to be saying, and what I am saying for sure is, are not seeing it being translated into the average person being able to create wealth. I spoke to you, I remember distinctly speaking to you about the whole question of, for example, I use one example, private ownership of minibuses. And I said there should be one person, one bus rule, so that you get everybody being involved in being self-employed, having their own business. From that could come spin-off businesses, parts, system, mechanics, whatever. But the whole thing is, for decades, it is not a beating or detain. For decades, you look at politics, Trinidad, same thing. You look across the world, the region, and I'm saying you see people, our population is largely black population, but you look and you see certain other ethnic groups newly arrived in the country who seem to even benefit more than the resident black population. I am not talking on a basis of race, but I'm talking on a basis of equity. And I'm saying government seems never to make policies that will benefit the majority.
Let me again warn you about the danger of doing that. You've lived in Trinidad and Tobago, right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Years ago, let's go back to the 1960s, 1970s. What was the ratio of the black population to the Indian population in Trinidad? The black population was the majority. What has happened over time?
Not by large.
Like about 40-something to 40-something, but close.
Yes, that's
but
here, right.
But here's the thing. They were the majority. That has changed. So when you make... But it is... I'm not talking about large. I'm talking about the fact that it's changed. So if you make law that says the majority population should do X or should have X, when that majority shifts, what is going to happen to the law?
No, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you should make law to say black people get this or not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay.
All I'm saying is you have to govern from a philosophy that says I will empower and enrich the majority. I will not.
Which I just told you can change.
Sorry?
Which I just told you can change. That
you cannot,
majority
cannot.
That majority definition can change.
Yeah, but I am saying to you, across the board, you look at how persons can be empowered. I'm not looking at it solely on ethnic labels because Barbados is majority one ethnic group, but in Trinidad there are majority different ethnic groups. So I'm not looking at it based on what one ethnicity. I'm saying that the average man should be able to rise from the position at the bottom and come one step up, and then the next time another step. So generation after generation, you see progress being made within certain sectors in your population. And I am saying government can definitely set policies that can do that. For example, those buildings that they have, when they sell them, they should look at perhaps selling if we have a property, we divide it in three, see how we can divide it. So you have broad-based participation in property ownership from government, rather than one person buying all of this and being having ownership of so much property on the land. Dennis, I don't want to detain you, but it was nice talking to you, and we will talk again.
We hope so. Take care. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
You've had some conversations in the past, and I disagree with you.
I know
but
that.
Before that, let me disagree with Hilary Beckles, too. Before I hit you, let me just leave with Hilary Beckles, because he was the last one on. Mr. Beckles, or Mr.
Sir Hilary, sir. I know you don't like sir. Call it.
I don't know, sir.
But, yeah.
So I need another. He's Professor Beckles or something.
He's Professor Dr. Sir, Beckles. Yes. He's Professor Sir. So you could use a professor.
COVID-19, at its worst, if left unchecked, will kill perhaps 10% of the most vulnerable group. Which percentage, I really don't know. That's probably about 2% of the whole population. No, maybe more than that. Maybe about 6%. 10% of 6%, which include all the old people over 75 years, 70 years old, and all the people with respiratory issues and immune thing. At its very worst, will kill 10% of the most vulnerable group, which is those with immune system. Aiming across Barbados, no real U.S. money. Aiming across Barbados, no real GDP money. It will cost lives. Yes. And you know there's an argument that said that lives would have gone on the road anyhow, but I'm not taking on that particular role. I'm not saying that that was the cost of COVID-19. The response of COVID-19, the response to COVID-19 is what is costing us big money. So we got to get these terms right. In a COVID-19 nothing, is the decisions that have been made for places like Barbados to respond to. Because these decisions weren't made by the star. You saw I tell people to shut down or wear masks and social distances. These came from outside and they were imposed on you to respond. And the question has to be asked, but who made these decisions? And why? What is the motive? Because you see what the result is. They ain't going to help Barbados, they ain't going to help me because I'm involved with tourism. But I'm not blaming the damn COVID-19 for what happened. I'm blaming the response to it and the people who made, not the czar, not the prime minister, the people who imposed these restrictions so that the Barbadians have to respond in this way. Those are that is where the problem is. So, Dr. Beckles, get your words correctly formulated. Seriously, I mean, this is wrong because when people of that caliber present that kind of argument, it more or less misleads the whole population and then some, and then some. It is a response, and that's why the OECD can get no talk as they are talking and do the things that they're doing because they done got you primed, they got you well set now for these kind of things to take place. So please, don't blame a sickness or a disease, which probably was also manufactured, which I can't say one way or the other, because there's really no way of proving it came from the bats in truth. They can't prove it up to this day. So, you know, you got to follow conspiracy theories like myself. But it is the response, okay? So, I don't think you have much to say to that. So,
I didn't see why I should disagree with what you say.
Oh,
because I have no reason to disagree with it at all, sir.
Man, you
listen, the statement you just made. No,
man,
hold on, man. The reason you just made, right? The reason you just said about being conditioned is something I said at 9 o'clock this morning to my friend John, who is the producer. Look him up there, call him and ask him if I lie. I said, if we're being told 80,000 people are dead, and we say, oh, 80,000 people dead. So if they decide to shoot 1,500 people tomorrow, we say, but it's only 1,500. Think kill 80,000. We conditioned by a lot of things. One of them is television. The other one is movie. The third one is social media. We conditioned. So I take your point. I don't think you're wrong.
Well, no, you conditioned, not me.
Listen, if I have acknowledged, I stop looking at TV. How am I gonna get conditioned? It's just right. I recognize it when I hear it.
All right. Fair enough.
Hit me now. You came out to hit me because you were ready to punch. Go ahead, punch.
Hold on. Before you go any further, if half of the resources and half of the media coverage was given towards the real killers out there, heart disease, I mean, people die of cancer. This wake up one morning and realize they put in working weapon there and they go and get checked. You had cancer for the past 10 years. You're going to be dead in 2 months' time. If people had some understanding as to what these sicknesses killed, how much they killed every day, every week, all the sicknesses that people walk about with because of the way they live, the lifestyles, all the sugar they eat, man, you be telling government, listen, my man, you better start passing laws to make sure sweet drinks can't have so much sugar in them, because that sweet drinks killing people enough.
I saw one that said 2.4 million children die from starvation every year. Why is this not a pandemic? That was sent to me.
People ain't gotten a job, and they ain't got no income, the ultimate result is that same sickness there too.
Okay.
So what are you going to say? When they start starving them, are you going to say, well, is that COVID-related?
Yes,
because
it is.
Because they were saying, oh, because of COVID-19?
Correct.
Huh? Or if they get, or they're breaking people's houses because they've got to get
food to eat.
And get shoot, and they get killed on the spot, is that COVID-related too? You made a decision that was imposed upon you as a response to a sickness that is going to cause far more, has already caused far more damage than the sickness itself. But that's common sense.
Okay, sir, calm down.
That is
calm
common
down.
Sense.
Calm down, calm down before we have to take you to the
I'm sorry,
a COVID place and, you know.
Let me say where you're wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Democracy is a very bad design. It really is. And the essence is that a majority decision, that's the only way you can break this thing, this tie. You got a tie, one more on one side and the other will make carry the motion. It's not like a unanimous decision or what is it, a two-thirds majority kind of thing. You could do that there too, but a majority is what? The question is how it is designed on the majority of what? You were telling the lady yes, just now, you know, you got majority Indians or majority Africans and so on.
I was talking about the percentage of the population. The percentage
right.
of the population. That's determined by the race you write on your ID card.
Right. Do you have races in Trinidad?
Yeah.
I mean, on the ID card?
Yeah, ethnic origin was a part that was on
that
the
right?
on the yeah. Well, when I was there, I know.
Would it let you? What is called yourself?
Me, a mongrel.
You half
a mongrel.
Half black, half
Chinese. Just tell you a mongrel.
that is a category that
they have other. They just have other. Other.
Okay.
Other.
All right. Truth be told, the if you need to have. It's not really what... There are two failures of the design. One is that it's the geographic.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter what particular interest you represent. If you're a retailer or you're somebody who is important, let's compete with the retailers, or you know, you're a farmer and you're competing with somebody who's a developer. It don't matter what interest you got. As long as you are in that particular demographic, that particular geographic demographic, you will get one representative. That's the first failing because it goes based on geographic design.
Location.
So location. So central, St. Peter North or whatever,
mm-hmm.
it don't matter who, you go put everybody in one geograph and say one man represent all them interests, which is a foolishness. So that is a flaw. And the second one, of course, is that they got to seek money in order to get a mounted platform for people to get whatever messages it is that they're trying to
These
sell.
These days they're using social media.
But social media is probably, well, you know, the what is coming on more so than before is real, you know, laptops and you know.
But you know that as that was more than platform in the last election. The social media did more.
That will come on even more.
Correct.
That will come on even more because that's more direct. Social mm-hmm. media is, you know,
personal, person to person.
All right. So here's the thing. All right. Mm-hmm. That requires money. Now, what democracy has morphed into, other than a geographic bad design. It's no longer about, because where you are wrong is that you are comparing the fact that I believe that putting an X, I should get this something out of this thing. I think that is right. If I put an X, it's because I want something. But if the majority of people, or the majority of interest, but in this case, the majority of people of that location put an X and get the same thing, at least we have done what the system was designed to do. You know, that is where you are wrong, because I am right in putting an X on a card because I want something done. I am right. The system was designed for that to happen. And if I happen to be of a majority, then therefore it works for me. The failing comes where the funding comes in, because the funding is only 1X. I'm only 1X too. But if my company has $6 million to put forward, the person with the $6 million X can be worth far more than my 1X. So he could only be one person, like the Trinidad moment was saying, but the bulk of the response from the government that actually gains the political influence, economic influence, will go towards the person with the $6 million X. So you don't have weighted X's. That is the second flaw in the design. And what makes it even more ridiculous is the fact that you are so desperate now. And I'm a Motley fan, but I'm also a Thompson fan. I'm also, I can't tell nobody else. But you know, I just don't like the system. Period. Okay?
I know that, and you've said so over and over.
Yeah.
But let me say to you that I understood exactly what you've said. And that's why I made the comment to the lady. No, I don't know why you're saying I'm wrong. I don't know why you have this fascination with trying to prove me wrong.
No, you are an
engineer, scientist, whatever it is you are, that you could make these definitions about, you know, the way the system is supposed to work. I am not that. I just use words. Let me tell you why I get away from the right or wrong. Here's what I said to the lady. I put an X because I want so-and-so. You're telling me that's correct. You tell me it's right. Okay. But here is where I say the system gets corrupt. The expectation that having put an X, you must do something for me. And you also say when you put your X, they must do something for you. And that is right. Mr. Daddy Warbucks with $6 million comes along and says...
You waited X.
You call it the weighted X, but for him, you're doing something for him. So he says, my man, I want you to do this for me. He don't say, I want you to do this for my 10 employees. I don't want you to do this for my yacht. I don't want you to do this for my company. I want you to do this for me. Do this for me, please. And when you do this for me, here's what I will do for you. Now, this is everybody after their own personal interest. The reason why it's weighted is because what you may want is a small thing, like your backyard pave.
I want good governance. I want constitutional change.
Because you're a good citizen.
No, I'm a citizen of Barbados.
Correct, you're a good citizen. But me, who, as I said, a mongrel, I don't belong nowhere. I belong on my yacht. So what I want is I want a dock. I want to dock my yacht for free. I want, you know, to be able to walk boat and buy things for free. I want to bring in my car for free. My want different because I really ain't care about Barbados. I just want for me. Now, the system that you're talking about will not change because each of us, for whatever reason, have our personal differences. And we superimpose that based on how much cash we got in our back pocket. What you call the weighted X. Or the expectation and need of the person who wants you to put the X. So if I come to a parliament as a millionaire, even Donald Trump, who's a millionaire, a billionaire, he says, still do things in his personal interest. And men who come to parliament as paupers will also do things in their personal interest. And that is the corruption. That's where the corruption in the system starts.
Because as human beings, we always ask the question, what isn't it for me?
For me. We FM, right?
No, but when I am one of a very large number of people, what isn't it for me translates to what isn't it for us if we all have similar interests, and that is what the system was supposed to be designed to facilitate. But what isn't it for me translate into how much money I got to demonstrate that I got better
than you.
Yeah.
And I could get ahead of you.
That's when it becomes corrupted. But what makes it even worse now, to my mind, is the fact that foreign interests can and have been contributing to campaigns. They have been doing it.
All the time.
No, can I call a name? I can't call a name. All right. But what they do is they open a local operation here in Barbados. The operation is more than likely owned by the state of the particular country or very big players in that particular state. Mm-hmm. And the local operation contributes to the domestic campaign. Mm-hmm. And by so doing, the interests of the overseas operators become, satisfied. So, when you have a bus that can be manufactured in Barbados. Mm-hmm. Retrofitted. But manufacturing is retrofitting too. The inputs, foreign inputs become less because, of course,
you have the local value added.
And you have a considerable amount of local value added, which is only paid for in Barbados dollars.
Which is the argument I made, so I couldn't understand why you vexed with me.
We're on the same side at this point.
Oh, well, boy.
Even if you have to tear up. No, because the prototypes always cost a lot. It costs a lot in research and development and trial and error and this kind of thing. But once you've got this thing down pat, it's only a short hop and a skip away to tearing up now to a plant where you have a number of people employed who know exactly what it is that they need to do, a number of processes and stuff involved, and you can move forward from there. It's not a very difficult thing. So you should have raised it in the first place. It is not difficult. The problem is to go from the other side now, there are also problems as well. Because how difficult would it be to break the contract with the Chinese? They could charge a penalty, but that penalty may very well be more than just bringing the raw materials in and servicing the local people. You see, these questions have to be considered as well, because if it's going to benefit you in the long term to get an industry up and running that will cost you less in terms of maintenance, in terms of U.S. money maintenance costs, that should clearly be the route. But then again, you know how to realize that we have a political system that allows for foreign interests to get involved. So when you see a decision like this being made that you know runs counter to that Barbados could provide for themselves, you have to ask, how does a political process actually work for you? Because it's clear that has to be our Prime Minister is not a fool.
Sir, say this to you. Let me say this to you so that you understand me clearly.
No, but I understand hopefully you this time. Me,
okay, right. I got to take a break, John tells me, but let me tell you this quickly, right? I fully support building the buses here because, as I said, if you could build it in Barbados for $500,000, and it costs $500,000 to bring a bus in, that's two buses you could build in Barbados. That's fellas at the Samuel Jackman that you could make directors, that you could make shareholders. I fully support a local industry that assembles buses, build them, change the design, export them, go to cars, whatever, total. Now, I hear what you say about the Chinese, and I know what you're talking about. Why do you talk about how much it's going to cost to break it? That's a discussion we could continue to have.